You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
Today,
the Bard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
Thank you, Lord. We were born to worship. I wasn't born to preach. That's the calling, but I was born to worship. Before I became a preacher, I was a worshiper. I was worshiping when he called me. You want the voice of the Lord, you got to get to a point where you just say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but here I worship. I'm going to stay right in this zone until you speak to me. I'm not just waiting on the Lord, I'm worshiping the Lord. It's our daily devotion to God. That's what God called every man to do, every woman.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, You Must Come Down. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10.
There's some benefits to be at True Revealed. Say, keep it at 60. Okay, all right. Mothers living to 80 and 90. Showing up. I took him to the Cheesecake Factory. I said, order whatever you want to order. It's on me. Oh, my God, man. Oh, my God. Can I take something to my boyfriend? Wait a minute, mother. You ate it. I thought I saw a shadow with you. Is it real? Bishop, I may have some snow on the top, but there's still fire in the chimney. Now they tell me everything. She said, there may be snow on the top, but there's fire in the chimney. I don't know. I don't know. I love every minute of it. They love it. I took them to the Millennium Mall. I said, I want you to take your shoes off after they ate. Can we get another cheesecake? Sure, you can get two. They took the shoes off, maybe 50 of them, and walked with me barefoot in the Millennium Mall. I said, we're going to the apple orchard. They walked with me too, man. It was the most beautiful thing you ever seen in your life. They trusted me like that. And I took them to the apple store. I said, look at your apple orchard. They loved it. They love every minute of it. Ladies like to go on a journey. They like to go on a journey. I'll never forget that, man. They were so, I mean, like little girls, man, holding their shoes like that. I'm telling you the truth. It was off the chain. Bishop, I lost my earpiece. Where did you find it? I can't tell you. I said, I don't want to know this. They tell me everything. Back to the message, right? Okay. Trust. They trust me. That's what's invaluable. If an elderly person trusts you, don't violate it. You want to get messed up by God? Mess up children? Or mess up the elderly? I'm telling you, it won't go well with you. Trust is the offspring of time and integrity. Spend time, trust will come. Number four, self-control. Self-control. Don't squeeze the egg even when you're pressed. Hold it. Some people, when they get pressed, everything is squeezed. Got the baby, you drop it. You stepped on something you don't like. You cussing out the person that's on the phone, which is a bill collector. Everybody you're mad with, and you're crushing the egg. You got yolk running down your arm. But self-control is to go through all of those things, manage them well, and hold the egg without crushing it. To temper your strengths. When you get mad, you don't shake them until they get quiet. You got to temper it. When you get mad at me, you get mad and go home and punch your wall, but come back to the church. You don't swing on me. Go and get in the gym somewhere. You don't swing on me. Number five, vigilance. Increase vigilance. It's a fundamental. Some of us are dull in our seeing. Dull of hearing, dull of seeing, dull of comprehension because we're not vigilant. The Bible says, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking in the earth seeking whom he may devour. Watch drug use. Watch casual drug use. Be vigilant. Don't get caught up in the fogs. Don't trust yourself. Come out of the clouds. Come out of the mountains of drug use, pill use, vaping, and all of these other things that our young people are dealing with. That's not for you. God don't want you dealing with that. I know you like to go and explore. I when I was a young man, I was plagued with what I call curiosity. So I was curious. It's just, I was like, what is that? What is that? And I was on Virginia Beach, and I was standing there with my hand in my pocket, and a man walked up to me. He said, you want your life changed? I said, what you talking about, man? He said, this will change your life. And it was a little stone like that. I said, what? He said, why don't you try it? I took it out of his hand, and I bit it. And he said, you don't bite it, you smoke it. I said, man, I don't smoke. I don't smoke, man. And I threw it like that. And when I threw it, there was a girl that was watching us. And it's the way she dived at it. That was my introduction to crack. I didn't know. When I threw it, it went into a pail. She dived in it, taking the stuff out, trying to find it. And when I said, what did you give me, man? What are you trying to do to me? I almost went off on him because I saw the way the girl moved. In Virginia Beach, Virginia. And you mean to tell me that's 40-something years ago and you want to play with stuff today? You better increase vigilance. Don't play with it. The same demons that tried to take me out. It took me out. It didn't take me out because I was ignorant and I don't like smoking. But if it was different, it may have gotten me because I was curious. Oh, Jesus. And that's why I don't come down on you when you're going through stuff. I say, God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. The man gave it to me. I was so ignorant, I bit it and didn't smoke. It would have changed my life. Oh, my God. That's why some of you know where you came from. You were tore up from the floor, got saved, all of a sudden got some swag, and you act like you've never been anywhere. But we need to be aware, increase vigilance, not looking down our ecclesiastical noses on everybody, but seeing how you can help them to be the best they can be. I'm trying to raise up a church that's balanced and mature. In every good house, in every great house, there's vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood, stubble, and earth, for some to honor and some to dishonor. But God loves to take dishonorable things and transform it into a vessel of honor that's sanctified and meet for the master's use. Don't get on this team and all of a sudden you act like you've never been anywhere. And if you're on the team and you're still doing it, you need to throw it away. But we need to come together so we can change the world for Jesus. Oh my God. Increase vigilance. Number six, hope. Write it down. It is the anchor of the soul, the fundamental that we all need. It is the anchor of the soul. Without hope, you will keep drifting. The reason why people move from relationship to relationship is because they lost hope. Or they end relationship because they lost hope in it. You will move from church to church, go to revival to revival, run behind every prophet on the land because you ain't got no hope. You want prophecy, but you ain't got no hope. You want somebody to tell you what's up, but you ain't got no hope. If you get hope, you become anchored. And hope is not prophecy, which I believe in it. But you can't live off prophecy. It's just to push you into another dimension. Then you back up off of it and you get some hope. Faith is the substance. Whoo, Jesus. Not of things seen, but of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And by it, the worlds were framed by the very word of God. So you got to get to a point where you don't see it, but you can hope for it. That is the middle between prophecy and reality. Glory to God. You got to learn to keep hope alive. I don't see it, but the word said it, and I'm going to still believe God that he can do it. I'm not going to let my hope plummet. I'm not going to let my hope become grounded. I'm going to keep my hope lifted and keep it alive. It is the helium in the vessel of faith. Keep hope alive. The more hope you have, the more you will soar over issues. You can't get over it, it means you don't have hope. I believe if I preach, hallelujah, somebody's going to get saved. I believe if I preach, hallelujah, somebody's going to come to Jesus. I believe if I preach, somebody's going to connect with the church. I believe if I preach, somebody's going to be healed. So I preach in hope. Do I know it? No, I don't know it. But I hope in it. I hope that you change. I hope that you develop. I hope that you come alive. And if I hope, my hope will not be disappointed. Number 7, we need to worship. Everybody should be worshiping. Hardest thing for us to do is to get our hands up because it represents surrender. Glory to God. And your hands need to come out of the soil of do nothing. If you land in a grave, just topsoil. You can lay there if you want, or you can push your hands through the soil. And if you do, you can rise up. And God wants you to come alive. You got to worship to come alive. Worship is the strength of the believer. You don't worship, you're weak. You don't worship, you're weak. We got to worship our way through. Thank you, Lord. We were born to worship. I wasn't born to preach. That's the calling, but I was born to worship. Before I became a preacher, I was a worshiper. I was worshiping when he called me. You want the voice of the Lord, you got to get to a point where you just say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but here I worship. I'm going to stay right in this zone until you speak to me. I'm not just waiting on the Lord, I'm worshiping the Lord. It's our daily devotion to God. That's what God called every man to do, every woman. Praise team shouldn't be singing Kathy, you know. This is my gift to you, Lord, and she's singing beautifully. And a whole host of people singing and minstrels playing, and we're enthralled with them, looking at them. My hallelujah belongs to you. You need to say it. My hallelujah belongs to you. Listen, if you ever invite him in, he will change your life. I said, if you lift up your hands in your house and worship God, it's going to change the atmosphere. Am I preaching to anybody? My job is to make sure as the priest here in the ministry, to make sure worship is at the level that God wants it to be. And so we have a great worship director here, and we have wonderful people that love the Lord, and we need to give God glory and praise and honor. The worship team is to lead you, but not perform for you. ain't nobody supposed to be doing curly cues so much so that y'all say, that's it right there. That's my song. Ooh. And all, everybody, oh, that's my man. That's my woman. No, they're supposed to lead you in a place where it creates worship in the pews, in the seats. Anybody that draw attention to themselves in the worship experience, knowingly or unknowingly, is not in sync with the sword of God. Don't ever draw attention in this gathering to yourself. Not with what you wear, what you do, what you say, how you flow. You got to put that down so God will be seen. Listen to what I'm saying, because the world is changing. Everybody wants people to see them, but you don't draw attention to yourself. Glory to God. Well, Bishop, you got a pen on and you got a ring on. I had that on before I was preaching. So what you got to understand, I'm not talking about preference. Look good, but try not to draw attention to yourself. Y'all see the balance? I want you to, I want you to see be the most beautiful, the best looking that you ever can be. But don't draw attention to yourself. Stop that. That's what we call immaturity. I like going places where they don't know that I wear a cross and a chain and a collar. And I'm just in the atmosphere, and then they find out as we move. But not because I say I'm the bishop. It's like, where did you get that from? Are you a doctor or a lawyer? Well, I'm kind of both. Because I do it all. I go to court. I hang out with people that's got things messed up in their life. I help them to straighten it out. I'm in the hospital a lot. I'm not the one doing surgery, but I do it on Sundays. I do a lot of surgeries. I know a little bit about anatomy. I know a little bit about law, rules and regulations. I know a little bit about finance. There are several areas in my life that I know. So when people talk to me, they don't know where you, they ask me, what are you doing? What do you do as a living? And so on and so. I don't like to say that I'm the bishop. If you have a friend coming to church and you want me to meet them, I mean, you know, they're going to meet me. But everybody don't have, let them meet the leadership. Then when they meet me, they have a little bit more respect, because a lot of times when they meet me first and they have a financial need, they circle back. You the man. They say, you the man, right? Yeah, I'm the man. Then maybe you can help me. Help you what? Help you how? That's the hundreds. That's what happens. Hundreds. You may not know hundreds. Ask me for big dollars. Hundreds. Thousands. But don't give thousands. You understand? Certainly not to me. But they just feel like I got it. Listen, man. It happens hundreds of times. Hundreds in a year. Hundreds. So when you bring people to me, you got to work with it. Because you're not going to see it. They circle back. I noticed he got a ring and chain. He shoot. That's the boss. Don't be taking, listen, man, listen, it's not what you think. You want this position here. You'll be screaming in a week. You'll be screaming in a week if you're not made for it. Glory to God. Lastly, stewardship and faithfulness. Well, that's number 8. Stewardship. It's a fundamental. How do you manage your money? There are people in our church, their wealth has increased $60,000 and $70,000 a year since being here. Did God get any measure of that increase? Are you managing your monies well? If all of us gave God the tithe, we wouldn't be in this building. Amen. We wouldn't be in this building. We'll be able to go wherever we wanted to go. So think about it. Become a partner and steward your own money. Lastly, brotherly love is important. Commit yourself to growing in those areas. And you'll see the fundamentals. You will mature. I was sharing on the New Year's Eve service about the principle of activation, which is very important. I gave some history. I didn't hit it like I wanted to, but I want you to get this. I found out in chemistry there's what they call a chemical reaction. For it to occur in chemistry, for a chemical reaction to occur in chemistry, a reaction molecule must be present. For a chemical reaction to occur in chemistry, a reactant molecule must be present. That molecule, a reactant molecule, must carry a minimum amount of energy, the smallest amount of energy in it, not the largest amount of energy to get the reaction. It must be small. I know that doesn't make sense because we think the more the measure, the greater the reaction. But the reactive molecule must have a minimum amount of energy inside of it, not a large amount. The energy inside of that molecule is actually called an activation energy. An activation energy within inside of the reactant molecule, but it must be minimum, very small. The reactivation or the activation energy helps to overcome what they call the energy barrier. That reactant, that molecule, that reactive, that activation molecule in the reactant molecule, that it helps to overcome the energy or the reaction barrier. And that barrier blocks produce, energy from turning to something productive or a produce, something that you can see. So what does this mean? The lesser the energy, the activation energy, the greater the production. The more the activation energy, less production. Okay? So in your cellular level, at the cellular level of your body, to get something moving from energy to produce, it needs only a small amount. You must decrease so you can increase. At the cellular level, you must lower you or the activation molecule, the activation energy in the molecule, so the best can come out. Thank you, Lord. Every baby starts with a seed, the smallest of seeds, but materialize into a 10-pound baby in 9 months. If you got large seed, if it was bigger than that, it wouldn't matter because it wouldn't be able to get through all of the stuff it's got to get through. It's the same way in this molecule. God designed you to decrease so produce can come out. You don't increase because you're large. You increase because you're reduced. Thank you, Lord. That's at cellular level. Let's take it to spirituality. The lower the activation energy, the faster the reaction and change, the reaction rate to change, to transformation. The less of the remaining, the less that it, of us that is remaining in us, the more God can use. So what happened is that John the Baptist said, I must decrease, that he would increase. And I know this works different because everybody, when we talk about the year of activation, we're thinking about promotion. And you, when I say less of you, you see demotion. But it's not demotion. It is reducing or rearranging so more can come out of you. Thank you, Lord. So for the cherubim to touch, I got to reduce myself. For the cherubim to touch, I got to reduce myself. Not magnify Bishop, I got to reduce myself. So the cherubim can touch, which invites the presence of God. And if you reduce yourself under the wings of the cherubim and sit in the lap that sits on the mercy seat, you will see him magnified in your life. Glory to God. I must decrease that he would increase. Acts chapter 19 again. It happened while Paulus was at Corinth, New King James, that Paul, having passed through the upper coast, the upper regions, came to Ephesus. I want them to put it on the screen so we can work. They listening to me, but I need you to work with me. Acts chapter 19, there it is. And it happened while Apollos, which was an eloquent speaker. We don't know if he's the writer of the Hebrews or to the Hebrews, but he was eloquent. When he came into the ministry, his ability to communicate was great. So God sent him to Corinth, glory to God. Or while he was at Corinth, Paul took a different path, because sometimes we don't need two powerful people doing the same thing. This is why leadership, everybody wants the most powerful on their team. But what God will give you is a motley crew to see how powerful you are. If you're powerful, you can take that which is mediocre and develop it. Man, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. But you must decrease so you can increase.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, you must come down, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
It is that time again to join Ambassadors for Christ in the Get the Word Out Challenge and share the good news about Jesus using your social media platform. For more information, email ambassadors@truthrevealed.org. The Believers in Richmond Spiritual Training, Best Class, is designed for new believers and will begin on Saturday, January 18th at noon at the Alliance Building. You can sign up using the mobile app or by scanning the QR code in the foyer. For more information, please email best@truthrevealed.org. The more time you invest in a marriage, the more valuable it becomes. Join the next Marriage Enrichment Heart Intertwined Session on Saturday, January 18th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary to discover ways to invest in your relationship and become more connected. Come early for refreshments and fellowship. Child care is provided. The Discipleship Course is an incredible way to reinforce your spiritual foundation and deepen your walk with God. If you are ready to get rooted and built up in Christ, email your contact information to discipleship@truthrevealed.org. Classes will begin on Monday, February 3rd.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.